Would you turn, please, to the New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews. We call it often the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. You probably know it's one of my favorite books. We studied it so long on Sunday nights before we were forced to stop meeting on Sunday nights. We didn't finish it. I hope we will soon get back to that study. Would you turn to chapter 7? We ceased our study in chapter 10, I believe, is where we left off. So for this chapter, these verses may sound a little familiar to those of you who were here for our Sunday night study. I'm in my daily reading, am in the Old Testament and the New, and in the New Testament, I'm in Hebrews. And it's brought back many good memories to me as I've read through this book, reading through the book now. And this chapter 7, I was reading a very few days ago, and just these verses stood out to me. I want to try to read them to you now and try to preach on these verses. Chapter 7 of Hebrews 24 through 27. Hebrews 7, 24 through 27. It's so good. So good. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And God gave it, brethren. It's good, and it's good for us. Let's read it and study it this morning. Verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the sins for the people's. But this he did once, when he offered up himself. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Hebrews 7, 24 through 27. God bless the reading of His Word to our hearing. God bless me to have insight into His Word. Let's pray for that, brethren. Father, give me insight into Your Word. Give me direction of the Holy Spirit, I beg You. So that, Lord, You would be honored and glorified by what I might say. And that Your people, me and all of us here, would be instructed in the truth. Edified, built up, established in the truth. Doctrinal truths, O God, and the beautiful truths that bless our hearts to know that we have a great high priest, Christ Jesus. What He's done, what He's doing at this very instant in our behalf in heaven, the eternal heaven. O God, set our minds, may we fix our minds on You now, on Your Word. May we be attentive. May we pay attention. May we draw nigh to You. You promise us, Lord, draw nigh to You and You'll draw nigh to us. We have that promise, Lord. We claim it. Help us now in this hour, Lord, to worship You in spirit and truth, honor You, and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We pray it in His name, the name above every name. Amen. Oh, man, what a text. It's just loaded with good things, brethren. Let's study it together. Hebrews 7, 24. The first three words are, but this man. And the title, brethren, of the lesson today is two words, this man. This man. And it's talking about the man, the God-man, Christ Jesus. It's talking about Him. You see, in verse 22, it says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And so it continues on talking about Jesus. He says, and they, that's the priest The men priests, not this man that we're talking about today, but the priests under the Levitical system of worship, they truly were many. There were many of them because they were not suffered to continue as priests by reason of death. They died. They don't live forever. Men don't live forever, brethren. And those priests under that ceremonial law, they served, and they probably did a great job, most of them. God appointed them. He made the Levites the priests. They came from the tribe of Levi. But there's a better one, brethren. There's a better one. You know from studying the book of Hebrews on Sunday night that one of the key words or themes is better. It's comparing Jesus to those other priests. It's comparing grace to the law. The ceremonial law. Better, better, better. We got it better, brethren. And so, in verse 24, the writer says, "But this man." And I want to preach to you, brethren, this man this morning. This man. Let's learn about this man. Brethren, this writer of the Hebrew letter, he lists so many things. I didn't count them, but he lists these things. And so when we get to each characteristic of this man, brethren, I'm going to say this man. And the first one is continues forever. You see it right there in verse 24. But this man, one of the things about this man, brethren, he continues forever. Name me one thing that continues forever other than God Almighty. This growing season, I, Jan and I, we've been riding up down the roads all over the place. And I look at the peanuts and corn and cotton, and the corn's already turning brown. It's not going to continue forever. It continued for a while. Beautiful. And the good rain we had all this growing season. But brethren, you look at that corn and you say, that's not going to continue forever. The ears are going to drop down. It's going to dry out, and the farmer's going to come along with his combine, and he's going to combine it, and it's going to serve his purpose, and it's great. And the peanuts are now they're trying to make and all. They're beautiful, aren't they? But brethren, everything has a season. God says to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose of God under heaven. But brethren, this man continueth forever. In the beginning was the Word. That's John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. You know it, don't you? In the beginning was the Word. He continues forever. He's always been. He is now. He ever will be. He continues forever. This man continueth forever. I cite to you again that quote I read in, I think it's Matthew Henry. He says, where John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. Matthew Henry says, he that was in the beginning never began. I hope you remember that. I hope you said, well, here goes Brother Mike again on that quote. I hope you got that memorized. It's the truth of God. He that was in the beginning never began. He never had a beginning. He's always been. He is now. He ever will be. This man, he continues forever. That's one of the characteristics, brethren, of this man that I'm preaching to you about this morning. Jesus Christ, in this same book, in chapter 13, verse 8, the writer exclaims, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. He continueth forever. In this same book, the writer cites, in this same chapter, verse 17, he says this, for he testifieth, God testifies about Jesus, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that's from Psalm 110, verse 4. We studied that several weeks ago or a few months ago. God says about his son Jesus Christ, you are a priest forever. This man, brethren, the first thing in our lesson today about this man is he continues forever. This man hath an unchangeable priesthood. Brethren, I have a great high priest. What do priests do? Let me Let me say to you, brethren, it's good that you have a great high priest. I don't know much about the Catholic religion. I don't know much about it. I know people go into the priest and they have priests and they confess. And I don't know what all else they do. But we don't go to a priest and confess. I'm your pastor, and what you say to me is confidential. You can confess something to me if you want to, and I'll pray with you. But I can't forgive your sins. I'll be glad to hear you, and I love you, and it's part of my job. And I'll pray with you and for you. That's part of my job. I don't consider myself a priest, a pastor, under-shepherd. But brethren, I have, and you have, a great high priest. A priest, brethren, a priest is a sort, is a he's between the God and the people. And brethren, your great high priest is between God the Father and you. He's between a holy God and a sinful man. And I have a great high priest, brethren. A priest offers sacrifices. Oh, we studied in Hebrews, and you read in Leviticus and those the Pentateuch, you read in those books where the law is put out there, how those priests go and they go to that altar and they take that animal and they sacrifice it in behalf of the people to God. That was their job under the ceremonial law. But you and I, brethren, have a great high priest. Priests offer sacrifices. And your great high priest, brethren, offered a sacrifice, didn't he? You know what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ, brethren, offered himself up to God. The Word of God tells us that in this same book right here. And you and I, brethren, have a great high priest who continues forever, and he has an unchangeable priesthood. You're not going to... One day, I imagine, if you live, we all live long enough, you'll show up here, there'll be a different pastor up here. Now, I've already said, I want to stay here as long as you have me and as long as God will have me. I want to stay here, but that's up to God. That's entirely up to God. But the pastorate changes. Priesthoods change. Many priests, there were many of them, but they didn't continue because they died. Or maybe various other reasons. Maybe they just quit, gave up, I don't know. But brethren, this your high priest is unchangeable. And his priesthood is unchangeable. Why? Because he's immutable. He never changes. And he's eternal. This man has an unchangeable priesthood. You're not gonna go to him one day in prayer and hear him say, "Oh, the rules have changed. I'm tired of this, you know, or you got to do different. You got to do this." Unless you're doing wrong, he'll say you need to do different. But he's not gonna change the rules on you, brethren. His priesthood is in his word never changes. That to me is a great comfort. This man continueth ever. He hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now here's the third one, brethren. This man, verse 25, this man is able to save them to the uttermost. He's able to save you, brethren, and he has saved you. If you're a child of God, he saved you to the uttermost. Those that come unto God by him. And let me say, that you, if you come to God, it's by him, because there's no other way. No man comes to the Father but by Jesus. His own words. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's John 14:6. He's the only one that's able to save them that come to God. He's the only one to get them to God. He's the only one to usher them into the presence of God. This man is able to save them to the uttermost. What's the uttermost? What's the uttermost place you can be? The best place you can be? Heaven, eternal. And he's, brethren, able and has done. He saved you to the uttermost. This man is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. This man, here's the fourth one. This man ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's in verse 25. He ever liveth. Jesus has always been, He is now, He ever will be. He became man, He took on flesh, He became one of us, so to speak, except for a sinful nature. He never took that on, and He never acquired a sinful nature. But and His human nature, brethren, died for a little while, about 3 days, and He spent it in the grave, and then God raised Him up. And now He ever lives. He ever lives. This man ever liveth. And here's a, it gets better. Why? What's one reason, brethren, for His everlasting living? What's He doing? He's making intercession for you and for me. He intercedes. That's one thing a priest does. He intercedes. He mediates. He's the middleman. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He comes between a holy God and a sinful man, mankind, his people. Isn't that good? Now he begins to describe, verse 26, for such an high priest became us. That means, here it is, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. For such an high priest, he became us. I want you to think about that in two different ways. The first way, and in the context, I think what the writer means is, he's suitable for us. He's good for us. He's what we needed. He became us. He's suitable for our needs. But as I was reading this again this morning, I had this thought. Such an high priest, he became us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He became one of us. Every year when we celebrate at Christmas time the birth of the Lord, His coming in the flesh, I read that verse from Isaiah, and I think, why would God condescend to become a human with all the mess that goes on in this world, and as ugly as we are, even the best of us, great sinners, why would He join ranks with us? And of course, the short answer is because He loved us, to save us from our sins. That's the reason. But the reason behind it and the thinking behind it, I think that's just love. That's love, isn't it? Now, and I learned that, and I contemplate it, and I rejoice on it every year at that time and at other times, but especially then. He became us. And that's not what it means in this context, brethren, but think about it. He became one of us. He did. He took on Him the seed of angel, of Abraham, not the seed of angels. He didn't become an angel. He didn't become some other thing. He became man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He became us. For such an high priest became us. Now he continues to describe our great high priest. He's holy. When I say, brethren, He became us, don't ever think that He took on our sinful nature. He did not do that. He took us on. He took on the seed of Abraham. He took us on as a project, if you will. He took us on to save us, because God said He will save His people from their sins. But He took on a human nature, but He never took on a sinful nature. He was born outside that line of Adam that the sin virus passed down from generation to generation to generation. But He was born outside that. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. But this high priest, brethren, became us who is holy. So if you get to thinking somehow he became a sinner, the only context in which Christ had anything to do with sin was what we read this morning. You read it and I read it from Isaiah, where God laid on Him the iniquities of us all. It was done, brethren, so that He would take your sin on Himself, Not that he would commit sin, but he was made to be sin for us. He was made to be sin for us. He knew no sin, but he was made to be sin for us. Because, brethren, he's holy. He's holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He's holy. He's harmless. Brethren, I was talking about that Catholic Church. It could happen anywhere, but their priests aren't quite harmless, are they? All the news we've heard in the last many years of how they've harmed their parishioners. They've harmed little boys and girls. Our great high priest, brethren, don't ever worry about him harming you. He has your best interest. He's sinless, he's holy, and he's harmless. Now he could get his back up, brethren. He doesn't appreciate sin. He destroyed death and conquered death and the grave and hell. And he spoke very plainly often to hypocrisies and those who would oppress and those hypocrites. It isn't that he countenanced sin, brethren. He's harmless in that he never harms his own. He has their best interest. He's undefiled. Undefiled. Sometimes, brethren, I defile myself. I commit sin. Christ never did that. He's undefiled. And he's separate from sinners. Oh, he rubbed elbows with us, didn't he? He became flesh and he began to dwell among us. And he touched the unclean often. We sang this morning, "He touched me." Love that song. I looked at the caption underneath the title of that hymn, and it said something like, "I will be thou clean." And that's where a leprous man, and leprosy represents often sin in the Bible. This man, eaten up with leprosy, a sinner, came to Jesus and asked to be healed, begged to be healed. And Jesus says, "I will be thou healed." Sometimes he spoke it, sometimes he touched them. He associated with sinners, but he was not a sinner. He was separate in that regard, brethren. Separate from sinners. Made higher than the heavens. Oh, brethren, our God, our great high priest is high and lofty. He's higher than the heavens. Look out at the clouds these days. I love to look at the white, puffy clouds. I like to look at them, and I wonder often, how far is it up there to that cloud? How far is that? I get an idea sometimes. My flight school lessons, my instructor gave me a number I can call, and it'll give you, among other things, the ceiling, the cloud ceiling. And sometimes I look up there, and if the recording says the ceiling is 3,500 feet, and there's a layer of clouds up there, I can look up there and say, well, that must be about 3,500 feet. I get an idea. But brethren, our high priest is higher than the clouds, higher than the heavens. It's a description in words of how majestic he is. He's higher than the heavens. And on another consideration, brethren, he's in the eternal heaven, and there, brethren, he's high because the saints bow down before him and sing his praise and cast their crowns before him. He's higher than the heavens. Verse 27, our great high priest, brethren, this man needeth not daily, as those high priests of the law day, he doesn't need to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people. Why doesn't he need to do that? Because he has no sins to offer a sacrifice for. The high priest, I know once a year, the high priest went into that Holy of Holies with blood and sprinkled it. But before he could do that, make an offering for the people, he had to make an offering for his own sins. I don't know if the daily sacrifices, if those priests had to do that or not. I don't know. But I know, brethren, a man high priest, because he has sin, he's got to beg forgiveness for his own sins. But our great high priest, brethren, never did that. He never had to do that. He'll never do that. For what did he do? Verse 27, this he did once. And that's referring to the words in the line up that says he did for the people's for the sins of the people. He offered sacrifice for the sins of the people. I think it's chapter 14, verse 9. I think that's right. No, it's not a 14. Maybe I got it. Yeah, 9 is 9:14. Chapter 9, verse 14. The Word of God says this: How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, now, in the context, brethren, that the writer's talking about, get away from the dead works of the law. The law's gone. And all it could do was purge your bodies from sin. It could, in a sense, wash the sin off your body, but you still had the consciousness of guilt because you knew you were a sinner. And you knew that the blood of bulls and goats, which is chapter 10, verse 4, is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You just essentially kind of put it off for a while. You acknowledged your sin and you made your sacrifice and you went on your way knowing that you hadn't been cleansed, your conscience hadn't been cleansed, because the blood of bulls and goats can't take away those sins. But the writer in verse 14 says, the blood of Christ, that Christ offered Himself without spot to God. And that purges, brethren, our consciousness of sin. Our consciousness of we're under the penalty of sin. We're under the power of sin. You're cleansed from that. But look at verse 14, brethren. It says, and the words say, Christ offered Himself without spot to God. And that's what I'm coming to. And that's what the writer is talking about. He said, He did this once. He only needed to do it once. Christ offered Himself to God. And that offering, brethren, was spotless. No sin in it. He was born without sin, and He lived without sinning. And that made Him, brethren, that qualified Him to be the high priest that could make the offering for you and for me. He offered Himself once when He offered up Himself. That was the offering, brethren, that your great high priest made for you. This man offered Himself for you. If you remember two words today, brethren, remember this man that I'm talking to you about, and remember the things that He's done for you. This man offered Himself for you. This man saved you from your sins. This man saved you to the uttermost. This man is your advocate with the Father. John, 1 John 2, 1 says, we have an advocate with the Father. That's the man, Christ Jesus, brethren. This man is the gift of God. The gift of God, Romans 6, 23 says, the gift, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through this man right here, the man, Christ Jesus. For what this man has done, brethren, I urge you and I urge me to love Him and to serve Him and to do what He says and to be more like Him and to follow His example. Remember that this man saved you, and remember that this man is right now your advocate with the Father. He pleads your case. And it isn't like I used to advocate sometimes. Sometimes I'd win, carry the day. Sometimes I'd lose big. I never knew till the trier of fact let his decision be known. But I want to tell you, brethren, Jesus never loses. He never loses. He's a perfect advocate. Sometimes I'd advocate for people that paid me, and sometimes they couldn't pay me. Sometimes I'd advocate anyway. Sometimes I'd say, sorry, I can't advocate for you. You can't pay me. I got to live too. Brethren, Jesus advocates for you because He loves you. He advocates for you because of the amazing grace of God. What we sung about at the beginning of this, right before the preaching started. He advocates, and He'll always advocate for you, whether you got the money or not, whether you deserve it or not, whether I deserve it or not. And most times I don't. He's your advocate. And He always carries the day, brethren. I thought of the last thing I want to tell you is I thought of this. Jesus advocated, brethren, before He ever went to the cross for one man. There are probably many more examples. But I thought about when He said to Simon Peter, He said, I've prayed for you. You remember that? He's already advocating for Simon Peter. I've prayed for you, Peter. Satan desires to have you. He desires to sift you as wheat. He desires to turn you all around, turn your life upside down. You better stay away from him, Simon Peter. Your best, and I've prayed for you. So, brethren, this man is your advocate. He's praying for you. Do what he says. Oh, Lord God, may we do what you say. We thank you for this man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank you for what he's done. We thank you that he's our great high priest, that he's saved us to the uttermost. And now he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Thank you for that. May that give us strength, O God. May it motivate us to do what he says and try to live like him for what he's done for us. And in that great name of this man, the man Christ Jesus, we ask it. Amen.